So, welcome everyone. I'm Tim Fahey. I'm a professor in the Natural Resources Department at Cornell. Sure is nice and bright and warm in here, isn't it? Thanks to Jim Adams for our... energy and power are a great blessing for modern society. But at the same time, we have to recognize that they're also a curse. Energy is the source of problems associated with public health, with occupational health, with environment and climate change. I teach a freshman environmental science course here at Cornell, and in the section on energy resources, I try to emphasize to the students that there's no such thing as environmentally friendly sources of power. What there is comparative risks. And we have to be aware of these comparative risks. For the past couple of years, we've been working on Cornell's Climate Action Plan, developing a plan as part of Cornell's long-term commitment to help to lead the way for society into a less risky energy future. One thing we know for sure about energy sources is that the cheapest source of power is coal, but it's also the most risky source of power. The way it's done today, it's risky to public health, it's risky to occupational health, it's risky to the environment, it's risky in terms of climate change. And so we're very pleased to be able to celebrate Cornell's commitment to move beyond coal as a power source. And so let me introduce Hugh Wong, who's the Vice President for Facilities at Cornell, and was my co-chair of the President's Climate Commitment Implementation Committee to lead our program on. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, and good morning, everyone. And as Tim said, I'm the other half of the team of people that worked on the Cornell Climate Action Plan. So thank you all for coming. This really is an exciting, truly exciting day for us. And as Tim mentioned, it is so important that we are able to stand here today and say that Cornell is committed to moving beyond coal. So we have an exciting day planned for you all. Following this event here, we will have buses. If you're interested in a tour, the buses will take you on a tour of our brand new combined heat and power plant. But we also want to take you down to another facility that we're extremely proud of. It's a facility that's been around for a little bit, the Lake Source Cooling Facility. Just as the combined heat and power plant is really a transformational facility, and so was Lake Source Cooling. And I hope you will join us in the tour. And lunch will also be provided. So we'll give you directions where to go to catch the bus. We also have handouts, many handouts all over the place, talking about our climate action plan, and as well as some of the other things that Cornell has been working on towards climate change. I want to thank a few people. Number one, I want to thank NYSERDA for the continued assistance in financial support that they've given us over the years to Cornell. Specifically, NYSERDA has given us $1 million towards the combined heat and power plant, and also $500,000 towards the work that we just finished in the climate action plan. I also want to thank the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Commissioner Pete Grannis is here today, and he will be saying a few words. DEC has always been a supportive of Cornell. And in fact, DEC facilitated and expedited the complex permitting process involving municipal, state, and federal agencies, including the EPA, for us to get the necessary permits that are required for the heating plant. So, I'm a facilities person, and I know that as a facilities person, we do a lot of plans. We put a lot of plans together, and sometimes we put very big plans together. And one of the things that I've always learned is once you finish a big plan, it is very important to keep the momentum that took us, that brought us to finishing that plan, and to accomplish a major milestone soon thereafter. Our brand new combined heat and power project is such a milestone. We've only completed our climate action plan exactly 4 months today, 4 months ago today. And we can already stand here and say we're cutting our carbon emissions by 28%. That is a major accomplishment. I don't think anyone can do that in that short period of time. So I also understand how important collaboration and teamwork are to implementing a successful project. A successful project also requires a strong and visionary leader. And we are fortunate to have such a leader here at Cornell. David Skorton is someone who truly believes in sustainability. He not only talks the talk that so many university presidents like to do, he actually lives and breathes sustainability in the fullest sense. And we're fortunate that he had the foresight to be one of the first presidents to sign the President's Climate Commitment, and actually having the faith that his people can actually deliver on his pledge. So thank you. President Skorton said, by signing the President's Climate Commitment, Cornell is embarking on an important journey to do its part to address global climate change and to make American campuses more sustainable. By working together, we can make a difference for Cornell and for the world at large. I believe that is why we are celebrating today, the opening of our brand new combined heat and power plant. We are proud of our accomplishments and set an example for others to follow. I am now pleased to introduce my boss, President Skorton.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks very much, Q. I want to thank all of you who came here today from far away, in some cases from Washington, from Albany, from New York City, and elsewhere to celebrate this very important day. And I also want to give a special welcome to the Deputy Commissioner of the DEC, Stu Gruskin, who's spending time with us. We'll be hearing from his boss in a few minutes. Assemblywoman Barbara Lifton, it's always good. We appreciate very much your support in many things. Dan Lamb, representing Maurice Hinchey. Hi, Dan. Thank you very, very much for spending the time with us. And friends from NYSERDA who have assisted Cornell, as Q has said, on many fronts in many ways, and I'm sure our work together is not done yet. It is fitting that we gather, as Tim intimated, in mid-January in a comfortably heated space to celebrate the fact that thanks to this new combined heat and power facility, Cornell is now able to very significantly, drastically reduce its reliance on coal, and that we plan on completely ending our dependence on coal within about 18 months. This is a complex project. It's easy to talk about, like many things, hard to accomplish. The DEC was enormously helpful in facilitating and expediting the many permits involved. The new system, as many of you understand better than I do, uses twin turbines that combust natural gas to provide the power to turn an electrical generator. The excess heat that leaves the turbines is recycled to produce steam, and therefore the combined heat and power plant will provide the majority of this campus's energy needs and could also, should that day come, lend itself to biofuel options, all the while ending in the very near future Cornell's long-term relationship with coal. It's this sort of thinking that is at the roots of the intention of the American College and University President's Climate Commitment, as well as this very forward-looking climate action plan that Tim and Q and a variety of their colleagues in the faculty and staff and student body put together, and that the Board of Trustees has ratified unanimously. This plan does set ambitious goals But it's a viable plan, it's a sustainable plan, of course, and it's engineered for what I would have to call bottom line results at a crucial moment for the global environment. Financial support from NYSERDA was critical, and with that support, the Climate Action Plan moves us closer to the eventual goal of the President's climate commitment, and that is a net zero carbon emission by 2050, 2050. Now, that's another one of those things that it's easy for me to talk about. At the time that I signed the commitment, I was very open publicly to say that I did not know how we would get to climate neutrality, but that I did have faith, that's the word that that Q used, in our collective ability as a university to educate and discover and find our way through. And today's an example of finding a piece of the answer to that larger puzzle. The plan does enhance the university's core mission of academics and research and outreach by focusing the knowledge and skills of today's Cornellians and tomorrow's Cornellians on areas that will reduce our environmental impact. So although we are celebrating today, we have a long hill yet to climb, and it's still an act of faith that we'll get there, and I'm very optimistic, obviously more optimistic today. This is a very appropriate focus for all universities, in my opinion, but especially for Cornell as New York's land-grant university, a role which for a very long time has kept environmental concerns high on our agenda. I'm grateful to everyone involved in making this process from the beginning inclusive and forward-looking, even when current events and economics didn't cooperate. Recently, Jennifer Andrews of Clean Air, Cool Planet, a leading organization dedicated to finding solutions to global warming, lauded the efforts of Cornell's staff and faculty, especially people like Tim and Q, calling the front-end outreach work on the Climate Action Plan, in their words, unique, impressive, and thorough. We're honored by this outside affirmation of the Climate Action Plan because, very importantly, this monumental effort is not just about Cornell, but about the greater community, especially the Ithaca and Tompkins County community, but we hope eventually, by example and by the bully pulpit, the larger communities of state, nation, and world. This accomplishment is in the context of 145 years of history at this university. And as proud as I am to be here representing the university today, I have no illusions that this is anything but a continuation of the ethos of Cornell for nearly a century and a half. Some great breakthroughs are happening in this very building, and the Climate Action Plan will have an especially enduring role, and I think it's an appropriate place to talk about it. The Climate Action Plan is not a report which will do us or the Tompkins County community any good if we celebrate it and put it in a shelf somewhere or a file cabinet. It's a blueprint. It's an essential living document to be consulted again and again, to be debated and reviewed as we move step by step toward climate neutrality. It does contain benchmarks for measuring our progress, and its analysis of sustainability throughout our operations helps to keep those issues on the front burner. Sustainability will not be accomplished by rhetoric only. Rhetoric is important, but benchmarks and ways of measuring our progress are the most important. We are proud of this particular benchmark that we've reached today, the new heat and power plant, and our decision to completely curtail coal use. Together, these actions will reduce campus central utility CO2 emissions related to heat and electricity, that piece of the puzzle, by 28%, or our estimate is 75,000 tons a year. Not the whole job, but a big piece of it. And we look forward to seeing Cornell's stockpile of coal become a symbol of a time gone by and a reminder that it's always important to focus on potential impacts and innovative alternatives in any given scenario. We look forward to completion this spring of the College of Veterinary Medicine's new animal waste management facility. And I want to bring that up today because it's another piece of this puzzle. This facility replaces an incinerator, reduces related energy consumption by 75%, and substantially decreases the environmental impact of handling 500,000 pounds per year of pathological waste and 130,000 pounds per year of regulated medical waste. This new facility is based on a non-burn technology, alkaline hydrolysis, which was chosen as a green solution by a landmark campus community coalition that worked together to go in the right direction. Q mentioned the Lake Source Cooling Project, a source of much conversation ongoing in our community. It's been in operation for several years and has been recognized by the DEC, by the EPA, and other environmental leaders, including international groups. It is a key component of the Climate Action Plan and continues to reduce campus energy use for cooling by nearly 90%. It has reduced the carbon emissions related to cooling by over 100,000 tons since startup and saves approximately 20 million kilowatt hours per year of electricity, enough to power 2,500 homes in this area, and has replaced the old-style refrigerant CFCs that so many of us remember when we first became aware of this damage associated with ozone depletion. The science behind Lake Source Cooling has also created a greater focus on the possibility of joint discussion, joint debate, and joint research opportunities around the southern basin of Cougar Lake and an increased focus on lake science in general. Members of a new partnership that include the Cougar Lake Watershed Network, Community Science Institute, the Ithaca Area Wastewater Treatment Facility, Cougar Lake Intermunicipal Organization, and of course Cornell staff and faculty and students, and the Tompkins County Planning Department are now working together to continue to study the complexities of Cougar Lake's diverse natural and artificial components and the overall health of the Southern Basin. I appreciate the opportunity to update all of you on these few items and all interested parties on the Climate Action Plan and progress toward greater sustainability. Collectively, these examples, although a step and not a completed journey, are examples of the kind of real commitment, including financial commitment, that will be necessary come recession or come better times to reach the goal of curbing or stopping global warming. We are grateful that we've been able and have the resources and the partnerships to pursue this goal through the partnerships that have occurred on many levels in Washington and Albany and here in Ithaca and Tompkins County, where the Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency issued the bonds to finance both the combined heat and power project and earlier Lake Source Cooling. I hope you will take the time, as Q offered, to pick up the brochures and read a bit more about this. And if you would like to, you're more than welcome to take a tour of either of these right after the program. Thank you very, very much for being with us this morning. And I want to say to the members of our larger community who are here, thank you for being such good partners and for helping to keep our feet to the fire. Now, please welcome the Commissioner of New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, Pete Grannis. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And actually, I'm here in two capacities. Well, I'm pleased to be here as commissioner. I'm also here representing the governor of the state of New York, David Paterson, who sends his congratulations to you, and particularly because his commitment to a climate action agenda is very similar to yours. And we are working, and I'll talk about that very briefly. I'm also pleased to be here with my former colleague, Barbara Lifton, a great assembly member and somebody I had the pleasure of serving with. I want to introduce one more, Ken Lynch, who's our regional director for the Region 7 office of my agency. Mr. President, I'm very pleased to be here to celebrate another step forward for Cornell, for this region, and ultimately for our state in our efforts to create healthy, environmentally sustainable communities. Last month, I was proud to represent Governor Paterson in New York State at the Climate Action Talks in Copenhagen. And Copenhagen, in particular, was structured as a top-down conference focused on creating international accords to reduce carbon dioxide. But after talking to people from all over the world about the innovative actions being taken at the local level, I came away from that gathering convinced that the very best way to reach our greenhouse gas reduction targets is bottom up. And that's exactly what today is all about. Moving from coal to a much more efficient, cost-effective, and sustainable approach to producing electricity and heat here at Cornell will result in some eye-opening reductions in greenhouse gases, which you referred to in your talk, Mr. President. The switch from coal to natural gas will reduce CO2 emissions by more than 75,000 tons each year, about 20% of campus emissions, which has been noted by others or will be noted by others as equivalent to removing about 8,000 cars from our road every year. This upgrade will save 100,000 gallons of diesel fuel by reducing train and truck transportation to bring coal from West Virginia and other sites here to Ithaca. And lastly, and most important of all, it helps to create a safer, healthier environment, not only for the 21,000 students and thousands of faculty and staff here at Cornell, but for all of the residents of Ithaca and surrounding communities. What's most impressive is that this isn't the first or last of Cornell's efforts to reduce its carbon footprint. It's just the latest example of the university's leadership in addressing the environmental crisis as part of the Climate Action Plan. From the innovative lake source cooling system to the policy that all major renovations of new construction achieve LEED Silver certification, like this beautiful hall here, to the massive 350-ton annual composting operation from the dining hall, the list of green initiatives across this campus, large and small, continues to grow and is testament to Cornell's commitment to environmental sustainability. On behalf of Governor Patterson and my agency, DEC, I want to congratulate and applaud you, Mr. President, and your team here, as well as all the people that made this incredible project possible, for being so committed to combating climate change and making the right choices for our future. I want people to rest assured we're doing everything we can in Albany as well to reduce greenhouse gases. Governor Patterson's ambitious agenda has put New York on the leading edge of national and international initiatives to address climate change. Through REGGIE, our precedent-setting regional greenhouse gas initiative, New York has joined with 9 other northeastern states to use the marketplace to set a price for carbon emissions, and we're using the proceeds to invest back in New York in energy efficiency and green jobs. I know you gave a great deal of credit to NYSERDA. NYSERDA is our partner, and they are the investment vehicle for using the REGGIE proceeds, so we're very proud of the work that they've been doing. Barbara asked me to remind everybody that NYSERDA actually was a creation of the legislature, and maybe you'll get a chance to build on that. Governor Patterson also recently signed an MOU with 10 other northeastern states to develop a regional low-carbon fuel standard to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from vehicles. We've also encouraged more than 40 New York communities to take our Climate Smart Communities pledge to reduce greenhouse gases emissions in a range of ways. And we've recently included greenhouse gases under our CECA reviews. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're making headway on a number of fronts. But if we are to reach the governor's goal of an 80% reduction of greenhouse gases by 2050, we're going to need all of these efforts and a great deal more. Other states have made 80 by 50 pledges. What makes New York unique and what we're developing is that we're developing a plan through the Climate Action Council to achieve these very ambitious goals. The council has only recently begun its work, but we know this is going on, and reaching our target will require a transformation of our energy and transportation sectors and the commitment of every New Yorker. We have a choice to make as individuals, as a state, and as a planet. Let me just see really quick this is. Well, this is going to be interesting. Remember that great moment when the Attorney General couldn't find her page? I found mine. We have a choice to make. We can either hold fast to old approaches that threaten our future, or we can find new, greener approaches that will ensure a healthier environment for generations to come. Cornell has again made the right choice and set a high bar for others to follow. In the weeks and months ahead, we're going to continue our efforts in Albany to keep New York on the leading edge of national and international efforts to combat climate change and build healthy, sustainable communities. I want to thank you very much for inviting me, and congratulations, Mr. President.
Thank you, Commissioner Grannis. Now I'd like to welcome Bruce Nillis, Director of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. Bruce?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. I have the great pleasure of working for the National Sierra Club in Washington, D.C., heading up our effort Beyond Coal. Today in Appalachia, there are machines that are bigger than this room, or as big as this room, that are tearing the tops off of mountains and destroying one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. Appalachia is one of the most biologically diverse ecosystems in the entire world. And what they are doing is trying to get the last vestiges of coal out of the ground in the cheapest possible way. Today in America, there are thousands of children who will miss school because an asthma-induced illness, exacerbated by air pollution, means that they can't go to school and learn, but end up in the emergency room or have other health problems. There are residents today getting up in the South Pacific Islands who will look out at their beach and realize that the ocean levels have risen another small increment. And unless we do something in the next few decades, their islands will be gone. And today in Washington, we are hearing that this challenge of global warming is so great, but yet we can't act, that they are struggling to enact some very important but modest steps to move us forward. And the theme, from the Sierra Club's perspective, that underlies a lot of this is our attachment and our holdover to the legions and the problems associated with coal mining and coal burning. Coal is the largest contributor to global warming in the United States. We get almost half of our electricity from coal. And it is also what is driving a lot of what is happening in Washington in terms of our inability to really showcase the incredible green energy and job creation associated with clean energy that is possible as we, if and when we move away from coal. So that is why we have a nationwide campaign to really elevate the issue of global warming, our number one priority, and showcase that the most important thing we need to do over the next two decades, says Dr. Jim Hansen and the experts at NASA, is to get ourselves off of coal. So we have a nationwide campaign that we started last September. One of the pieces, a large piece of that work, is focusing on college campuses, the 60 college campuses that have coal-burning facilities, to do two things. One is to really make the link between concern about global warming and coal-burning and the critical role that coal-burning plays, but also to really showcase that, that universities can be the engines of showing how to do something different and really harness the incredible intellectual capability of students and faculty to showcase we can actually do what a lot of naysayers of Washington say we can't do, which is we can get off coal really quickly. And the notion of not being able to reduce our global warming emissions by a modest 20% in the next decade, they say can't be done. And so that is why it gives me enormous pleasure to be here today to help celebrate what you all are doing well ahead of where many others are, to demonstrate that in 18 months, your emissions are going to go down 28%. In 18 months. In Washington, they're wrangling over, can we do 20% in a decade? And you're doing it in 18 months. And that's just one project that we're here to celebrate today, which I've had the enormous pleasure of arriving yesterday and being treated to a wonderful series of meetings and getting a tour of your campus, learning about the Lake Source cooling facility. I had never heard about this incredible effort. We need to be replicating this. And so in addition to being here to celebrate, I come away with an incredible appreciation for what you are doing and looking very much forward over the next months. We right now have 10 organizers on campuses that have coal plants that have not yet worked out what to do about them. And the number one thing we're going to be doing is when they say we can't do it in North Carolina, we can't get off coal because we don't know how to do it, there's going to be a showcase that we are holding up and saying, look what Cornell is doing. And so as we're struggling and there's a lot of naysayers in Washington saying we can't do it, having you all lead and in an enormous wide variety and recognizing it's not just one fuel or another fuel, but it's we got to do the efficiency, we got to do lake cooling and some other creative non-fossil fuel alternatives, and then we got to back that up with a new super efficient gas plant. That whole range of things that you're doing provides great examples, not just here in New York to the one other coal plant that is on campus at SUNY Binghamton, but all the other campuses across the United States and all the other cities and all the other places that are still relying on coal. So I'm again, delighted to be here to help celebrate this incredible next step that you all are taking and to hear that this is another step in your journey to get to carbon neutrality, and very much looking forward to help showcase everything you are doing, not just here in New York, but around the country as something, yes, we can fix this problem if we all work together and put our smartest minds to work. So again, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. That's very, very encouraging. And as Bruce said, we do have a lot of work to do. This is really only just the beginning. And, you know, we have, there's a lot of coal plants out there, not only in the United States, but around the world. And, you know, this is only a small first step. So I know we're committed to doing our part and to help others achieve as well. So, again, I want to thank you all for coming. That concludes our formal remarks today. I do encourage you to take the handouts. We also go on the tour of our two facilities. We're very proud of them, and I know we're all prepared to show them off to you.